standing by to talk to us today about nutrition topics and obesity in particular is Yonetsi, talking to us today all the way from Queenstown. And being the mother she is, little Kiara is participating, I think it's in hockey trials in Queenstown Kamani today, and Yonetsi has taken her up to Queenstown. But just a warning, if you are out on the roads this morning, it's very, very misty in the on the N6, especially between East London and Kumani. But Yonetsi, good morning and welcome, and thank you very much for taking time to chat to us today, considering the fact that you're sitting in Queenstown. But welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wayne.
And as I mentioned today, Yonetsi, we're talking about obesity, which is a big problem in South Africa.
Yes, for sure. And I think it's actually a worldwide problem. But I think especially in South Africa, the fact that we might not may be the safest country in the world, that's a big contributor to the fact that people cannot really be active as they would want to necessarily. So if we think about obesity, it's quite a complex disease, and it basically means that your body has got too much fat. So beside the fact that it is a cosmetic concern, obviously people are concerned about the way they look, the more dangerous part of that would really be the medical side to it, because it increases our risks of obviously health diseases. And obesity is directly basically linked. I always say the very first thing is sort of a high blood pressure, and after the high blood pressure, maybe the high cholesterol, and then insulin resistance and diabetes. And then apart from that, and because of the excess fat in different compartments of your body, there's stuff like sleep apnea, also heartburn is basically linked to a higher BMI. And then more serious things like liver disease, so like a fatty liver, cancers can develop because of that. So that's sort of the medical situations that we would face if we look at obesity. And I mean, there might be various reasons. People might blame it on genetics, or maybe psychological issues, or environmental factors. And obviously a big contributor would be diet, and then the physical activity. But before we sort of get into that, I just quickly want to explain how we would sort of diagnose, or what is the parameters that we look at. And the good old one that we use is BMI.
Okay.
So if you are not the bodybuilder, you are just the regular person, BMI is a general, quite a good guideline for us. So if we have a BMI less than 18.5, we will be underweight. And then a healthy weight would be anything between 18 to 25. And then overweight starts from a BMI over 25 to 29. And sometimes this actually comes way faster than you really think if you work it out. So people can do the maths for themselves. So BMI equals your weight over height squared, and that number then will give you anything between 80 and 40 or 50, all depends on how much you weigh. And then obese would be anything higher than 30. We also use a waist circumference. So if you are a man, if your waist circumference is higher than 102 centimeters, we classify you as obese. And then for women, if your waist circumference is higher than 89, we will also classify you as obese. So if you are concerned about your health, if this sort of a guideline that you can use to see where you really are, should you be a little bit more conservative, or maybe then visit your GP so that they can test things like blood pressure, cholesterol, insulin. Those are sort of the three places I would say is an easy way to start to make sure you prevent yourself from more serious illnesses.
So that would be, as you say, prevention. If you think, wait a minute, you know what, I'm putting on weight, something's not right, I need to get checked. And then also, as you say, the risks of being overweight, which would be latent, you know, things that you don't really realize until it's too late, heart, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. And then, you know, people might say, oh, but they will give genetics and metabolism and maybe hormonal influence, if all of these things are relevant. Mm. But at the end of the day, the one thing that still stays key is the calories that we consume. So if you don't burn more than you consume, all that excess calories, the body will store as fat. So that's really one of the main things that we should focus on. And in obese people, there might be that they consume more calories before feeling full, or they get hungry sooner, or stress and anxiety also has an influence. So there are those things that we have to take into account and that we can give some credit to. But the main thing really at the end of the day is calories.
Right. So no matter which way you look at it, obviously other factors taking into account, but from a starting point, it's, are you eating too much? Like you say, maybe the person doesn't feel hungry, or they're feeling hungry
faster than the other person. Yes.
So they're eating, and then maybe because of that, they're eating the wrong things. You know, maybe it's that the kernel on the corner, or the big arches, which suddenly become very attractive.
Yes, and also, unfortunately for us these days, our jobs are more office-bound. It is remote, so there's more screen time. People use elevators and escalators. There's online shopping. There's drive-through takeaway. So all of this makes your normal activity even less.
Yeah.
So then your unhealthy diet that you have basically will make compounds. That you will consume more calories. Mm. People don't really eat fruits and vegetables anymore. Like you mentioned, fast foods are everywhere. And then because you are inactive, very quickly you get into a positive in terms of energy consumption and not necessarily in the way that you burn those calories. There are some diseases that contribute to weight gain, hypothyroidism, Cushing's disease, Prader-Willi arthritis, but I mean that's really a medical condition which generally will be treated as such, and those people will get the advice that they should get to help them with their weight. And also then some medications. So if you take something like anti-seizure medications, antipsychotic drugs, beta blockers, all of these things unfortunately have got an influence on our metabolic rate. So it slows down your metabolic rate. So even if you eat conservatively sometimes, because of the drug interactions, because your metabolic rate is so slow, you will gain weight easier. So way more pressure on that individual to make sure that they eat clean and that they actually are active.
Okay.
And then also for South Africa, I think unfortunately, if you don't really have a safe area to do some activities, or you don't really have access to clean food, all of these things obviously has an influence on a contribution of gaining weight. And also as we get older with age, there's hormonal changes, and sometimes people are less active, and because of that they have less lean body mass, lean muscle mass, and muscle mass contributes to metabolic rate. So very important if you are older actually to put some effort in to increase the amount of lean body mass that you've got. Maybe do a little bit more resistance training, and definitely don't stop exercising. Even if it's just walking, or like if you can swim, it's quite a good exercise to do.
And that's sort of probably one of the safest exercises, because it's sort of non-impact. compared to running or even walking.
So swimming is really a good option. The other contributor to maybe weight gain would be people that want to stop smoking, or they've stopped smoking, so they swap that habit for food, and then unfortunately they gain weight. Sleep is quite important. If we don't sleep enough, there's also hormonal changes in the body. It will increase your appetite naturally. You will crave for high carbohydrate foods if you don't sleep enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of the body's way to recover, if you can put it like that. And then also stress. So stressful situations, it increases cortisol. It's not the greatest hormone on the planet. And in some people, they will just go into sort of stress eating without knowing, because they see it as a coping mechanism.
It's a comfort food.
It's a comfort. So, I mean, with all of these things that I've mentioned, you can actually, each of the scenarios, you have to treat on its own to be able to help that individual that maybe wants to lose the weight.
Right. And then
if we don't look at our weight and the BMI, unfortunately, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, digestive issues, the osteoarthritis, the fatty liver, and all in all, a poor quality of life, that's really what it boils down to. And if you don't sort of be preventative about it. So if your BMI is between, 27, to 29, try not to make it go higher than 30.
Yeah.
Make the lifestyle changes that you're supposed to do to prevent yourself from actually developing any of the serious medical conditions, which is harder to treat than to prevent.
Yeah. You know, a classic case of prevention is better than cure.
Yeah, definitely. So that is definitely my advice. So maybe what I will do next week is I will maybe explain some dietary issues, because obviously there's stuff that we can do to be fat conscious and to reduce the amount of calories that we consume if you cannot be that active to burn all the extra calories, for instance.
I suppose that's, it's easy to say, you must go for a walk or a run every day, but you mentioned safety. A lot of people live in areas where they just can't do it.
Yes, and also I think time is a big thing these days. Not that it should be an excuse for us, but I mean, if those are the issues, then the way that we eat becomes very important.
Very important to compensate for the maybe the lack. As we're getting in towards winter, it's getting dark earlier. You don't want to go running around the neighborhoods in the dark.
yes. So maybe you should rather then look at some clean eating.
Well, there's always more than one way to kill the cats. Not that we want to kill cats. But interesting, and also just very, very quickly, Annette, you mentioned, in the diets, and I mean socioeconomic conditions obviously also have a lot to do with it, because if you look in the, especially in the townships and around taxi ranks, you see these food stalls, and I mean they're selling reasonably cheap food, but it's definitely not the best food.
Yes, so unfortunately, those street food, if we can call it that, very high in calories. So even if you think you have the one small thing to eat today, it's filled with calories. So it becomes quite challenging to, it's a real challenge.
So if you are maybe eating those fit cook on the road and things like that, you've got to
maybe get the steamed mealy on the ones that they buy on the fire. That's definitely a better option than the So cooking methods, a fake cook and a roasted cook is two different things, because there's so much more calories in a fake cook than in a roasted cook.
Because of the way it's cooked.
Because of the preparation of the food. it's small things that can help you to save some calories.
Right. So there are ways around it, and at the end of the day, exercise and a good health plan or a diet plan is what you need. And let's see, if somebody wants to reach you and find out, maybe asking you, getting you to put together a plan or a diet plan of some sort, or any other advice, how do they get in touch with you?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great, Unetsi. Thank you very much, and have a safe trip back from Queenstown, Kumani today. And wish
so much,
Kiara
Ryan.
All the best.
Yes, thank you very much. I'll tell her. It's the border, last round of border netball trials. So I think the whole of the Eastern Cape is probably here.
Wow.
So quite exciting.
Great. Yes. I got mixed up. It's netball. I mentioned hockey earlier.
No, it's winter sports, so no problem.
Okay, but Unetsi, thank you very much and have a great day.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Cheerio then. That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat.